This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 13 to 35. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deep broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul, an adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go, come again, tomorrow I will give it," when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Good morning. I love November. I love this season. Are you guys enjoying November so far? Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. When I think of November, I think of logs on fires outside. I think of kids playing in the leaves. I think of apple cider, apple sauce, apple butter, all things apples. Think of chili cook-offs, college football. But by far, my favorite thing about November is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's coming right up. I've got a lot of things to be thankful for. I'm so thankful for my wife, Emily, and my family. I'm so thankful that God is doing a work in this church and just how we were able to, just last month, with one voice, just affirm Scott Allen into his office as pastor for Preaching and Vision. I was at Grace Marriage yesterday with my wife and so many other couples at Fellowship Church. Just so thankful for the leadership that poured into us yesterday. Just thankful for so many people. But there are four people that God brought on my heart this week, just to say a special word of gratitude to, and that is, I think they're all here. Matt Webster, Lee Neesmith, Clay Kelly, and Dean Brunton. These are your and our pastors, our lay pastors, and I just think about the last season that we've been in as a church, not really knowing who we are or where we're going or what's next, and these four men They've just faithfully served us. They provided leadership, stability, care for each one of us. And I just thank God for my dear pastors. I also thank their wives, because I know that behind every married lay elder is a godly, humble, sacrificial wife as well, carrying the load. So I'm just so thankful for you guys, and I just want to celebrate you guys today. All right, so let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. If you're not there already, I don't know if you heard Phyllis. We've got, I think, 23 verses to get through. It's a lot to get through. So please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 3. Last week, we heard Bobby Parker unpack what it means to trust God with all of our heart, right? Lean not on our own understanding. Today, we're going to see that God blesses. There's a blessing for all of us, for the one who finds wisdom. Do you want to be blessed today? Anybody want to be blessed? Anybody want to be happy? Anybody want to be encouraged? I do. And so he's got really good things in store for us today as we look to his beautiful word. So let's look to it. Let's search it out. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. We'll start there. Blessed. There's that word blessed or happy is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you can desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast, hold her fast are called blessed. Solomon says that the one, the man, the word he uses is Adam. The one, the man who finds wisdom is blessed, happy, benefited. The one who finds wisdom has great gain. We've talked, this is a theme in Proverbs. We've seen this already, but this is important for us to understand. If you find wisdom, you are better off than a person who finds a cave filled with silver. The one who finds wisdom profits more than one who discovers a treasure chest filled with gold. She, that is Lady Wisdom, he's personifying wisdom here with these female feminine pronouns. You can see those there. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing on the face of the entire earth compares to her. When you find Lady Wisdom, it's interesting. It's like he's picturing this woman that you find. He's the King Solomon talking to his son. When you find her, she's got things that come with her in her hands. She says, long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. It's like, wow. Author says that her ways are ways of pleasantness. When you walk with her, your walk is filled with peace. When you lay hold of wisdom, it's like a tree of life. You get these images of blessing and fertility and fruit and rest and peace and sustenance. One theologian wrote of wisdom that wisdom makes you richer than money ever will. Wisdom makes you richer than money ever will. How can you say that? How can you say that? Well, because think about it. Riches, if you're rich, you can buy a house. You could buy like a really amazing house, but you cannot make it a home. If you have riches, you could buy jewelry, the fanciest jewelry ever, but you can't buy love. You see, silver and gold, they can do lots of things, but cannot buy true happiness. Can't make you truly rich. Solomon says the one thing that makes you truly rich is wisdom. And just so we're clear, this is I think a helpful thing. We're talking a lot about wisdom. I was like, well, what exactly is wisdom? What are we talking about here? Are we talking about some mysterious answer key that we can kind of like read about or discern? And all of a sudden we've got like the cheat code to all of life's problems. No, that's not what Solomon's envisioning here. Wisdom, Kyle Baldwin and I, we were in the office this week just putting our heads together, like, how do we define wisdom? What are we getting at when we use this word? What is Solomon getting at? And we worked on this definition together. It's mostly Kyle's. He said that wisdom, it's like the humble pursuit of life as God intended. Okay, the humble pursuit of life as God intended. God has created this world there's an order to it, there's a flow to it. And wisdom is learning how to pursue this life in a way that God intended. I like how Pastor Alistair Begg puts it. He says that wisdom is walking God's way in God's world. Walking God's way in God's world. It's recognizing and honoring God as the one in whom life is truly found. It's humbling ourselves. We've talked a lot about humility. The fear of the Lord, right, is the beginning of knowledge. It's the theme throughout this posture of humility, recognizing that God is worthy of our honor and devotion. And so when we learn to walk in this way, when we learn to walk with God in humble obedience, Lady Wisdom, she greets us with her arms wide open, filled with blessings. Verse 19, the author makes an interesting pivot here. It was really challenging to figure out why these two verses exist in this text. Look at verse 19. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. So before this, you know, why is this here? Before this, the author was saying, look, the person who finds wisdom, man, they are going to be blessed. They are going to be blessed with life and with peace and pleasantness and security, all these things. But here it's as if the author is saying, look, wisdom wasn't not only helpful for mankind, but it's also helpful for the Lord himself, for Yahweh himself. God in his infinite wisdom created the world. In his supernatural understanding, he founded the earth and established the heavens. I don't know if you guys have read the Chronicles of Narnia, the C.S. Lewis books. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. In one of them, he's got this beautiful kind of chapter about creation, and he pictures God as Aslan the lion, right? Jesus Aslan the lion, and there's this void expanse, this kind of dark and foggy and misty expanse, and he's kind of painting this picture of Aslan the lion singing over this void expanse, just this beautiful song, and as he sings, these beautiful things start to emerge slowly. Creation starts to break forth in wisdom and beauty. I don't know how it all went down. I wasn't there. But I do know that God, in his infinite wisdom, he spoke a word, and from nothing, something came to be created, and it was an incredible, beautiful sight. He says that not only did he found the earth, past tense, established the heavens, past tense, by his knowledge the deeps broke open, past tense, but he says, present tense, the clouds drop down the dew. Currently. I think that's important to notice that not only did God in his wisdom create all of this that we see, but he currently sustains his creation. Clouds drop down the dew. I've been doing a lot of planting recently. You guys have heard about this. I really have gotten into this. It's fun. It's exciting. I blame some of you for my fascination with planting. But I've got lots of stuff going. I've got some peonies that are now brown from the fall. I hope they're not dead. I hope they're coming back next year. I've got some plants inside. Like I've got some little peach things that are growing. I've got some apple stuff that's going. I've got a lot of things going on. I was watering my blueberry bushes about a month ago, and I was like, man, this is, you know, just doing my thing. I love just watering this stuff. I slow down and do this. And next to one of my blueberry bushes, there was something growing to the right of it that I did not plant. I've got these kind of bigger pots like this. Blueberry bush, and then to the right of it, just something shooting up. I thought it was a weed at first, but I don't know if you've got that, like, identify it thing on your phones. Have you guys ever tried that? It's actually kind of fascinating. It doesn't get it right all the time, but if you take a picture of something you don't know what it is, plant-wise, it will try to tell you what it is. And so I'm growing sycamore trees inside. They're super tiny like this. I'm growing a few like this from seed that I found on hole 18 at Persimmon Ridge, a really beautiful tree. And listen to this. My trees inside, they're like literally the size of a fingernail. They are so puny and teeny. But God, in his wisdom, he, beside my blueberry bush, is growing a really healthy, beautiful sycamore tree right next to my blueberry bush. And I really think he's teaching me a lesson. He's saying, Todd, you're putting all this work into this toil, you're watering, you're doing all this stuff that you're just no match for me. I think that's what he's saying. God is a really good, wise creator. I wanted to take a little bit of time just to consider some of this stuff. This may blow your mind like it did me, but when we think about the wisdom of God in creation, let me just give you a few things that are true about his good creation. It is estimated that there are 326 million trillion gallons of water on the earth. 326 million trillion. Two-thirds of that water is locked up in ice caps and glaciers. When you think about the stars, the amount of stars that are kind of out there, this morning I got up super early and went to the office, and it was very dark when I got. I looked at the beautiful starry sky this morning, and do you know how many stars are out there? It's estimated that there are 200 billion trillion stars in the universe. I don't even have enough zeros or ink to write that many zeros. It's a lot. On the earth, do you know how many trees are on the earth? It's estimated there are 3 trillion trees on the earth. Is that right? That sounds like a lot. I'm going to have to fact check that one, because that doesn't look right. But I do think this is right, that there are 422 trees per person. So I think you could figure that out. 422 times like 7 or 8 billion. Is that in the trillions? I don't know. You guys check me on that one. Just put an asterisk by that stat. I don't want to lead you astray. This one I got from NASA, so I think it's correct. It says, like, so the Earth, it's revolving, right? Every 24 hours, it's doing one of these revolution. But it's also in an orbit, right, around the sun. You guys know this? You guys are like, wait, what? It's also in an orbit around the sun. Do you know how fast the Earth is traveling in that orbit? Somebody know? It's 67,000 miles per hour. We are currently traveling 67,000 miles per hour on this Earth that God in his wisdom created. When we consider the vastness of creation, just all of the little details, every blade of grass has a backstory that God has written. It really causes our hearts to revel in the glorious wisdom of God. It makes me just wonder, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? God used wisdom to create everything that exists, and he makes the clouds drop down the dew. He's sustaining it. And now, so here's the line of thought, the reasoning. Wisdom is valuable to mankind. Whoever finds it, he's going to be so blessed. Not only is it valuable to mankind, but God in his wisdom, he used wisdom to create and sustain creation. And then Solomon, he turns now to his son. Verse 21, we see this. He says, son, it's valuable to you. He says, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be a life for your soul and an adornment for your neck. He says, in other words, like, son, don't take your eyes off of wisdom. Hold tight to it. I like how Bobby put it last week. He was talking about wisdom and just this idea that it doesn't come just easily to us. It's often like a pig that's running around and it's with grease on it. You gotta grab hold of it and stay holding on to it. And so it's like Solomon saying, look, son, if you If you grab hold of wisdom, if you hang on to it, oh, it's going to be life for your soul. It's going to be an adornment for your neck. And here we see next something really beautiful, really important. If we hold on to wisdom, if we grab it around the waist, right? If we just lay hold of wisdom, God's word says that we're promised something. We're promised something. It's in verse 23. It says, then, so if you do this, don't lose sight of this. If you keep sound wisdom and discretion, then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. He says, look, son, if you make keeping wisdom your highest aim, then as you walk through this terrifying thing called life, you'll be safe. You'll be secure. Your foot won't trip. When you go to bed, son, you won't have to be afraid. Your sleep will be sweet. Why? Because your confidence and your security, they are going to come from the unshakable character of Yahweh himself. So church, when we pursue wisdom by walking in God's world, in God's way, he blesses us with this peace. So question, have you ever gone to bed and just not gotten sweet peace? Maybe sweet would not be the word that you'd characterize your sleep. Have you ever gone through a season where you had a legit concern or fear about something? I have. If you haven't, you will. You may have a situation in your life where you're just at an utter loss for what to do. You don't know what to do next. You may feel like you're at the end of your rope. You may be the kind of person that's got a lot of plates spinning and you're holding them all in balance and one's starting to topple over here and you just feel like in your gut that they're just all about to come crashing down. You may feel like they already have come crashing down. If that's you, there is a word in this text for you. The son or daughter of the king who trusts in him is secure. He will hold you fast. You might not feel like it. You might go through a season of unrest or worry or concern. You might not have this sweetness in your sleep, but he will hold you fast. You can trust him. And I pray that God gives you a peace that passes all understanding as you walk humbly before him. All right, so I said we've got a lot to do. We're almost there. We've seen the value of wisdom for mankind, for the Lord himself, and for the king's son. You might be saying, hey, God, I got it. We're good. I'm going to pursue wisdom. I know that it's going to lead me to a life that's characterized by blessing and peace, like great. But Todd, hey, what does wisdom look like? What does it look like? Well, here in the last section of Proverbs chapter 3, we get a sense of what a culture of wisdom looks like. He gives us five things. First, in verse 27, he says this, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Isn't that interesting? We're to be people who are doers of good. We can often leave good things left undone as a people. And God says, if you want to build a culture of wisdom in your life or in your community, in your church, then if you're able to do something for someone that's good and they're deserving of it, you got the power to do it, well, then do it. Second, it's not putting people off. Do not say to your neighbor, verse 28, go and come again tomorrow, I will give it when you have it with you. All right, if you owe something to somebody, pay it back as soon as you can. It's this idea. Don't put people off. Third, it's being just a general good neighbor. Verse 29, do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. It's this idea that, look, we're in community together. We've got neighbors next to us. We live around people. And you want to treat them the way you want to be treated. Don't do evil against them. They're dwelling trustingly beside you. Be a good neighbor to them. Fourth, don't just pick a fight with someone because you want to be quarrelsome. He says, do not contend, verse 30, with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Fifth, he says, do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. Do not envy a man of violence or choose any of his ways. This is an interesting one for me. I think some of the ones before are pretty cut and dry. But they're like, I think we just need to admit that in this world, in the city of Louisville, in the nation, there are people who get places by doing others wrong. There are people who get ahead by taking advantage of the weak or the vulnerable. This looks like a person who may get a promotion through a deceptive kind of a business deal or through deceit or lying or cheating. This could look like a student who aces a test and gets the 4.0 and gets the advancement and the recognition because he got the answer key beforehand. This could be the person who's made a fortune by taking advantage of the elderly. And God's word here says, don't envy that person. Don't follow them on their path. God does not bless the violent. In fact, this text says that there is a curse for those who are wicked. Don't be fooled by their earthly success. The fool will only get disgrace in the end. And so Solomon, he closes this chapter just like he started it in verse 13. He gives a blessing. It says, the Lord blesses the house of the righteous. Towards the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. Or as the Greek translation puts it, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. All right. So Solomon, he in this text, he personifies wisdom as a lady, right? He's using these pronouns, kind of went over some of them, but verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom for gain from her in verse 14. Right? And her prophet, she is more precious than jewels. So verse 16, 17, 18, all have this beautiful poetic imagery about lady wisdom, right? About laying hold, grabbing her. She'll be a tree of life to all who lay hold of her. It's beautiful. And King Solomon, he was right in one sense. He was right. Wisdom is a person. But as God would reveal himself throughout history, we come to understand that, yes, wisdom is a person, but wisdom isn't lady wisdom. Wisdom is actually our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wisdom is Jesus Christ. It'd be an interesting exercise to go through this chapter envisioning Jesus Christ. Just listen to some of it. The gain from knowing Christ is better than gold and silver. Jesus Christ is more precious than jewels. Reminds me of this idea of the treasure that you find. There's this parable in the New Testament that when you discover this treasure, you go and in your joy, you sell all that you have and you go buy that field because you're just convinced that it's the best thing ever. Jesus, he's the tree of life. To all who lay hold of him, he's the tree of eternal life. Solomon says that the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, but wisdom has a name, and his name is Jesus. The Lord by Jesus Christ founded the earth. By Jesus Christ, he established the heavens. This comes out really clearly in the New Testament in a book to the Colossian church. The Apostle Paul, he writes this. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Jesus Christ was the man who did not withhold good from us. It's interesting just to apply Jesus to this second half of chapter 3. He didn't withhold good from us when it was in his power to do it. He didn't delay his obedience to his Father on our behalf. And it was Jesus Christ who humbled himself even to death on a cross so that we could be delivered from the domain of darkness. And it was Jesus Christ whom God the Father was pleased to lift up in resurrection power and give favor and honor toward. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he's all over Proverbs chapter 3. This chapter whispers his name. Church, if we have Jesus Christ, we truly do have all we need. He will not delay in caring for us and in giving us exactly what we need in the season of life we find ourselves. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our protection and our peace. Throughout God's word, we see a lot of different themes. One of the themes we see is that God's people are blessed to be a blessing. Do you guys see that in God's word? We're blessed to be a blessing. Here in this text, we are given peace to be peacemakers, to cultivate a culture of peace. Church, the world needs churches in her cities filled with the very wisdom of Christ who make peace, who don't withhold good from those to whom it is due, who treat their neighbor as they'd like to be treated. May we be these kinds of people. May we embody the kind of culture that only wisdom can provide as we look to the very embodiment of wisdom, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you meet each one of us where we are. I'm just thinking of my last 2 years and just the countless nights where I have tried to go to sleep and just the last word I'd use to describe my sleep is sweet. Yet at the same time, even through all of that, my soul has found rest in you. I just think of my brother and my sister and my spiritual niece and nephew who are going through these storms of life, who are looking for the way forward. How are you going to work in this situation? What am I supposed to do here? Your word meets us there and allows us to have a peace that really doesn't make any sense to the world, doesn't sometimes make sense to us, but it is a peace that surpasses understanding. It goes way beyond it. Because when we have you, when we know whose we are, when we know that we are walking through God's world in God's way on his path, that we can dwell secure. We thank you for these truths. We ask that you would make us into a church that embodies wisdom, that loves this city well, that loves our neighbors well, that does good to all whom we are able to do good to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.